Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
If you would please, let's go to the Word of God today. My title today, it's the part two of our series on the joy of the Lord. And today we're teaching on the four essentials to joyful living. Say the four essentials to joyful living. If you missed the message on last week, it's on podcast, on YouTube channel. Please go and listen to it, get caught up on it. There's a lot we shared. Won't go back into it. Our text for today, beginning text, is Psalm 16. And verse 11, it reads, in fact, read with me if you can see the screen. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. There's no mystery to having joy. Joy comes from the presence of God. Where does joy come from?
Presence of God.
There's no secret about that. And we also made clear that joy and happiness are not the same thing. I want to be happy, but happy is based on circumstances. But joy is a condition of our relationship in our heart with God, with Christ. And so joy can exist even when you're sad. You can have joy when you're sad. Does that make sense? Probably not, but it's true anyway. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So David said, you will make known to me the path of life. And then he says, you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Isaiah chapter 9, here's a prophetic scripture. The prophet spoke. We read also in Matthew, Jesus also quoted this in Matthew's gospel. It says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them light has dawned. And you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Aren't you glad that God will make promises and God keeps promises? You know, when God keeps a promise, it's like the joy of a harvest. Now, haven't been a farmer, haven't even gardened anything, but I know gardeners and farmers have that joy when the fruit begins to come up and when the fruit is ripe, when the harvest is ready, they bring the big combine machines out and reap the harvest. It's a joyful day because it was a successful crop and they get paid. Think about this. When God has healed you, answered your prayers, kept us from dangers and harms. That's a harvest for us. Harvest is anything that God does for us. You woke up this morning, that's a harvest, somebody. If you want to be thankful and joyful, you can find a lot of ways to do so. And so that's the joy of harvest. This next part says, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Now, you know, when there was conquest and combat and they won, they would divide the spoil. Whatever they got from the enemy became theirs. This word rejoice, we learned last week, in the Hebrew, is a word, it's a celebration word that means to spin around with great joy and emotion. You know what I'm saying? You know, I remember I used to run around the room sometime when I got happy. Now I kind of run in place now, you know, there's just something about the joy of the Lord. It's not just mental or emotional. Joy of the Lord, rejoicing, that the expression of joy is rejoicing. It will engage your entire person, spirit, soul, body. When elders said, lift your voice up and give a shout, that's what we do. That's the idea of rejoicing. Rejoicing is never, never a silent thing. Amen. So then, Jesus Christ, He's the light that shines in darkness. He's the one that brings the victory and the harvest. He brings the salvation. He brings whatever is needed to lift us up out of darkness. Let's look now at these points here. So it is a unique characteristic of the Lord to provide joy and to go from strength to strength. Our topic last week was strength to strength. So only Jesus can provide joy. The world can provide happiness, but not true joy. And then we can go from strength to strength. Joy is not an emotion like happiness. Joy is the knowledge and disposition of being in the will of God. I've learned this over the years. When I go through trials and difficulties and things don't make sense, when I ask myself the question, am I in the will of God? If the answer is yes, I have joy. Because you can't ask your circumstances how you're doing. Don't ask the devil. Don't ask the trouble. Don't ask people always how are you. No, ask what you know. Ask yourself, am I in the Lord? Am I in his will? Yes, I am. Now, if the answer is no, then that answers an issue. Get in the will of God. Sometimes we do have problems for being out of God's will. We know this. The Bible says, don't rejoice. He says, what glory is it when you are buffeted for your own faults? It's no joy in that. So if we're making mistakes and experiencing consequence of that, then correct the issues. But otherwise, when you're serving God, devil come against you, circumstances go sideways on you, ask yourself, Lord, am I in your will? He says, yes. Then begin to rejoice. We'll see in a moment from the Apostle Paul how this works. All right, so then go on next points here. So rejoicing is your strength to strength. Say rejoicing. Rejoicing is my strength to strength. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote this. New Living Translation reads, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Get a hold to that. Now, notice that Paul said, whatever happens, brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Why is Paul saying that? Because Paul is writing this from jail, from prison. In fact, the most joyful letter, the most encouraging letter he wrote, came from a place of difficulty for him. We know great hymns in the church have come from places and people going through deep trials. So again, circumstances don't bother God or hinder God. In fact, God will glorify himself through a negative circumstance. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, whatever happens, do what? Amen. I told y'all somebody stole my car years and years ago over on Washington Boulevard. Had a white Buick LeSabre, blue velour seats, and I liked that car. You know, I didn't love it. I liked it a lot. Went to lunch with a friend, came back, and I saw broken glass where my car was supposed to be. First thing I said was, Lord, somebody stole your car. That's exactly what I said. I didn't wail about it. I didn't like it. But I knew. See, listen, y'all, if you say you serve God, you say you love Jesus, and you praise God always, oh, you're going to be tested. Oh, that's going to be. So then the thing, we aren't happy with bad things happen. Oh, and they found my car, by the way. Seat leaning all the way back. You know, marijuana joints in the ashtray, and the Bible under the seat. Had a Bible on the passenger seat. They put the Bible under the seat. Amen. But he says, whatever happens, dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Why? He said, well, because he says, I tell you this to safeguard your faith. What does that mean? It means this. We live in a world where the circumstances don't encourage us. You know, I heard just yesterday, I guess that smoke is coming back down from Canada. Smoke is coming back, all this kind of stuff, all the time, things going on. And if you get locked in on circumstances, It'll affect your mood. It'll affect your mood. It will affect how you think. It'll affect your conversations. You talk about all the, I mean, listen, if the smoke is here, the smoke is here. How many times you got to say it? You seen the smoke? You seen the smoke? You seen the smoke? Yeah, that smoke, how bad? That's bad. The more you say that, the more it brings down your mood. And even though we're people of faith, your mind and how you think is involved with how you believe. Yeah, believing is spiritual. It's spiritual. Faith is. But then if you don't have your disposition where it should be, it's hard to have faith. It's difficult to have faith when your conversation, your thoughts don't line up with what you believe. I'm not saying denial. I'm saying acknowledge it and leave it there. And then trust God. Amen. So I would acknowledge it. I'll leave it there. And I'll trust God. So Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. I don't get tired of saying it because I'm doing it to safeguard your faith. Say, Lord, help me safeguard my faith. We think faith just is always going to manifest. No, it doesn't. You haven't spent time in prayer, haven't spent time in the Word, haven't been in fellowship with believers, in church and all this. It's hard to have faith when the environment is not right. Amen? You got that. All right. Now, let's go to this text. I'm going to spend the rest of the time in here in Philippians chapter 1. We touched on this last week. We're going to get into it today. And from this text, we're going to learn about the four essentials to joyful living. That's our topic today. Reading, I'll read this to you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, Apostle Paul wrote, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and strife, and some from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice and will rejoice. Verse 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, in that that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better for me. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful to you. Wow. So the Apostle Paul, from prison, is telling us, revealing to us, these four essentials for joyful living. Let's get into this. So the first essential to joyful living is perspective. Say perspective. Perspective. We'll see the text in a moment here. Now listen, y'all, our problems are managed by how you're looking at those problems. Big part of it. The way you look at that problem is much more important than the problem oftentimes. Your perspective makes the difference. Say, my perspective makes the difference. Now, talking about mind over matter, talking about how you manage and safeguard your faith in a circumstance. Yes. So Apostle Paul, he said this, he said in verse 13, he said, it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. That is, they began to realize that the Apostle Paul was not like any other inmate. They recognized something different about the man. Different disposition, different attitude. Not to mention the fact Paul was framed, you know, to be. He wasn't supposed to be there, but God let it happen because God had a plan. You know, God wants to save everybody, including the prison guards and the wardens and all them. I'm not saying you ought to get yourself arrested for that purpose. But if something goes down, wherever you are, God will use you. You believe this? Even in your present trouble, whatever your trouble is right now, whatever it is, God will use it to his glory. So then, here's the perspective. Paul's bonds destroyed barriers. See, Paul, the chains are the bonds. Paul's bonds destroyed barriers. Say, my bonds can destroy barriers. So the very fact that Paul is in prison, the thing that nobody wants or thinks is any good for any good use, God is using Paul in the very place where nobody else could understand how God could use them there. He says that, also he said, in addition to those guards who are being witnessed to or receiving witness of Christ, he says, even most of the brethren have become confident because of my chains. He didn't say all the brethren. He's at most. You know, some people, when you go through trouble, they think, see, I knew it. He wasn't right. I knew it. They think trouble is a sign of God not with you. I'll remind y'all that when Jonathan and the armor bearer, unnamed armor bearer, were facing the Philistine army and were facing a dilemma and wondered what to do, Jonathan determined that if they say, come up here and fight, God is in it. You know, I think it is, you know, if the problem goes away and vanishes, God's in it. But Jonathan said to armor bearer, let's go up. Perhaps God will work for us. He said, perhaps. Armor bearer be like, hold on now. What it is, okay? Perhaps. That's all you got? But his response was, I am with you according to your heart. Yes. Love that text. Yes. So the thing is, there are people who are inspired by your standing going through difficulty. They're inspired by your steadfastness when you're facing trials and challenges. And so thank God. He says that there are brethren, he says, who became more confident, watch this, and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. I love this. You're never going to prevail over God's church and God's people by persecution, you know, by trying to remove stuff from us and take stuff away from us. We just rise up in Christ. Amen. And our, the joy manifests. See, so Paul was sitting here in prison. They had taken everything from him. That's the nature of being in jail. And so that you think that the devil maybe thought that we get Paul locked up and then he'll break up the movement and slow everything down. Nope. Everything got better, faster. More people were saved. Amen. His bonds, Paul's bonds destroyed the barriers. Say bonds destroyed barriers. That's a perspective. That's what God can do. Doesn't make sense in our natural mind. We're talking about a supernatural God. Amen? Amen. Now, going on in this point here, so Paul uses in this text when it says these things that happened have caused a furtherance of the gospel or advancement of the gospel. This is good. This word he used, the Greek word he used for advancement, is a word used for the progress of an army or an expedition. And then the noun, there's a verb form from the noun that means to cut down in advance. And the idea is it's a verb used for cutting away trees and undergrowth and removing the barriers that would hinder the progress of the army. So when you go through stuff, God's advancing his purpose through you. Advancing his gospel through you. And it's as if that God is clearing a path for advance. Think about that. Your problem, your challenges are only clearing a path. Say, my problems are clearing a path for advancement. Didn't James say that count it all joy when you go through various trials, knowing this, that the perfecting of your faith does what? Produces patience. And you shall be complete and entire, lacking nothing. So the design of the enemy is to reduce you, but God increases you because he advances and he cuts out the things you don't need. You know, trials sometimes serve that purpose. You know, trials show you really what needs to go anyway. You ain't somebody. Sometimes you just got too much stuff. Stuff breaking, you know, just things. And you got so many folk hanging around with no purpose in your life. We have to be clear about these things, because if we are not serving God in our generation, what are we doing? All right, number two, the second essential for joyful living is priority. Say priority. When things get tough, you need to know what's really important in order to distinguish the trivial from the significant. Now, again, we're in a world with all types of media outlets. We got, you know, mass media, social media, we got the phone, you know, got notifications. Well, that's a monster right there, you know. First thing I do on the phone is turn off notifications. I'm looking, I go there anyway. I'm gonna look at the text messages anyway. So telling me it's one is there, I was gonna check it in a few minutes. So, but notifications and things like that, there's all this information coming in. And you know how it is nowadays, telemarketers now got a hold to. They got your phone number now. And you block this one, they got a hold of the number. You know, you block this. But I'm telling you this to say that priority, you got to fight for your priorities. So I have to fight for my priorities. Because people and stuff want to jerk you around and say, look at me, look at that. I'm not looking at you. Or that. It's not priority. Amen. Depends on what it is, who it is. So the thing is, we have to distinguish between the trivial and significant. Well, all right, so I can be living my life based either on problems or priorities. Either you'll decide what's important in your life or let other people decide for you. Amen? Now, Paul said this. Paul, we read, go on here, get the scripture for this one here. So in verse 15, Paul said, again, some indeed preach Christ from envy and strife, some from goodwill, all right? And so, Paul, no one would really be in favor of somebody preaching Christ from a selfish perspective. But Paul said, you know what? I'm not going to fool with those people. Whether they're doing it for right motivation or wrong, I'm going to focus, prioritize what God told me to do. In every way, in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. So I'll focus on that. He says, I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. You don't defend the gospel to people who are doing it for a selfish ambition. You defend the gospel to people who are hungry for the word, who are curious about the things of God. Don't get distracted going into the weeds on some doctrinal stuff and some people who have got a bone to pick with you. With it. Don't do it. Amen. I call it getting into the weeds. You ever been in the weeds before? Yeah. Don't go in the weeds, okay? Stay focused on what God has told you to do. Amen? So priority then is very important, because either our life, again, is based on the problems or the priorities. Now, problems come to us. We have problems all the time. I'm not saying ignore a problem, But when you have priority, you're better equipped to handle problems. When you're clear about your priorities, you'll find grace, you'll find wisdom to handle the problem much better. Amen? You don't want people deciding for you what you should do. You know, even as counselors, when we counsel people, we don't tell them what to do. We shouldn't. We should present to them, here are the options. Here's what will work. Here's what doesn't work. You know, God said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. It's a counseling session. He says, I advise you to choose life. You cannot make a person choose life. My mom always said, my mother, she counseled people, like always would say, when she finished, now, what are you going to do? It always ended there. What are you going to do? Help them gain priority by recognizing what is important. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, living right. Give them the options they need to make good choice. Now, the third point, the third essential to joyful living is power. Say power. Power. I say power powerfully. Come on. Power. Power. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. So I need strength. We need strength or power to make it. We need power to keep on going. Life can wear you out, wear you down, and wear you out. Life can drain you completely. One crisis after another can drain you. You lose your energy and your personal power. Now, personal power means it's the power to make a decision, the power to act on a good decision. It's personal power. Power of God is one thing, but your power is to take the decision and act on it. You need a fresh power supply. Paul said this. He said in the text, he said, I have the strength to face, this is chapter 4 of Philippians, I have, the, verse 13, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. So when you see Paul writing these things in the first chapter and all he experienced, know that in his heart, in his mind, he realized this, I have strength to face all conditions. Now I go through things, we all go through things, and what I've learned to say, people ask me, how are you doing? You're going to be okay. I say, look, I'm built for this. I am built for this. And that's the truth. It's not me, it's Christ. Hey, trust yourself, see what happens. No, don't do that. Don't waste your time. But know what's in you. Again, we taught you that have faith in God and have confidence in what God gave you. Faith in God and confidence in what God gave you. And so Paul is saying that. I have strength. I have what God gave me. God gave me strength. I have strength. Say it. If God gave me strength, I have strength. It's not an arrogant statement. It's a truthful statement. Because you're saying it not based on your strength, but based on the fact Christ has put it in you. And he, by his Spirit, is sustaining it. So it's not an arrogant statement. But I have the strength to face all conditions. Say it. Say, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ Jesus gives me. Come on, say it again. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. Don't back up off of that. Because circumstances will challenge you. Your own mind will challenge you. You know, your mind come back like, you said that today in church, didn't you? Uh-huh. You said that? Yes, it's slap. You know, something's going to happen. Some trial will try to come along behind you believing that. A brother said one time, he fasting and prayer is a big help too. And he was sharing a story how he was fasting and praying. Now, fasting doesn't move God. Nothing moves God. Fasting moves you. And we are the problem. We worse than the devil. You don't like that, do you? You are worse to yourself than the devil. It's the truth anyway. But he said this. He began to fast and pray. And about the second day, he began to to feel this, you know, this oppression, the enemy attacking him more. And he said, yeah, you trying to believe God and pray and fast about that? I'm gonna put more on you. And he said, well, I'm gonna fast another day then. The devil came back. Oh, yes. See how this is gonna work out. Well, I'll go another day then. Nothing. See what happened? He kept raising his faith level. An enemy just said, I'm going to stop. This ain't working. You know, some people, more pressure don't make them shrink. Amen. You know, the heat is in the kitchen, y'all. And that, you, he says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen. Don't be what's a bad soldier? It's hot in here. It's a kitchen. They talking about me. They always talk about you. So don't let circumstances like that diminish your will. In fact, lean in. I've always said this, you know, the whole thing about, you know, people kneeling, you know, during the national anthem, and they were doing it to protest. You know how all that went. That you should stand. Well, here, I believe this. If you tell me I have to stand, I'm going to kneel. If you say I got to kneel, I'm going to stand. I won't bow to the pressure of the world or the pressure of religious spirits. In other words, make up your mind in Christ and take that stand depending upon what God has put in your heart. Amen? So Paul said, I have this strength. I have the strength to face all conditions. All conditions. Now, he didn't know what conditions are coming. You know, it doesn't matter what's coming. God sees it. You can't prepare for conditions, y'all. You cannot prepare for every condition. You do what you can. But listen, y'all, if you're in faith in Christ, walking with him in the word, whatever condition shows up, you have strength for it. Amen. It's good to know. Verse 19, Paul said, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. That's a person who had whose mind been made up for a long time. He didn't come to this place when he gotten arrested and put in prison. You can't figure it out in prison. It's too late then. You know, it's hard to believe God for healing when you're sick. Believe God for healing when you're healed. I mean, live in divine health. Practice the right things for your health. And when sickness comes, you roll right on there and keep practicing what you believe. Sometimes, you know, people don't prepare for things. Here's a quote I'm going to share with you. Last point I was going to make, but let me share this with you now, because only a fool would go all through life unprepared for something he knows is coming. Only a foolish person would go through life unprepared for something he knows that is coming. For example, all of us getting old. Young folk, you getting old too. I'm going to live forever. No, you won't. Get your house in order. Amen. Get your estate in order. Amen. What does your will say? Y'all quiet now, see? You know, people like to be happy and rejoice until you get real, you know. In other words, we know these things. Whatever it is in life, we know things are coming. So in the spirit of grace and the spirit of joy, we let God prepare us for the things we know are coming. Because so much comes in life we don't even know about. So the things you know about, at least prepare for those things. And the spirit of preparation will make you ready for things unexpected. Just think about that. So Paul said, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. You know, sometimes we feel ashamed for being in trouble, being in crisis, not being able to do something we wanted to do. Don't be ashamed. Because If your life is submitted to God and God has built you a certain way, then you understand these things come. Setbacks happen. Things go sideways. Things break. I'm not going to be ashamed. I won't like it. I'm saying, Lord, thank you that whatever my state, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance. That's the lesson of life, y'all. We all like it when things go well. Amen. But life throws us all type of curveballs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so really the test is not how well you are when things are going well, but will you stand to be encouraged and have joy in your heart when things go the other way. Yeah. And safeguard your faith. Yeah. Say, Father, help me. Safeguard my faith. All right, final point here. The four essentials of joyful living, the fourth essential is purpose. Say purpose. All right, so here it is. Paul is old and tired. Even though he's saying all these positive things, in himself, he's tired. He's older. He's old. And has been in prison for 4 years. He's ready to go to heaven. They've taken every single thing from him. Friends, ministry, freedom, privacy. They've taken everything from him except the one thing that cannot be taken from you, and that is a purpose to live for. No one can take your purpose. Because purpose is not material. Purpose is in your heart. Purpose is in the call of God and the grace of God on your life. So the Apostle Paul expressed that. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Woo, that's deep, y'all. I wouldn't think I can say that. I can try to say it. I don't know how it'll come off, how I feel about it. I don't see no gain in dying. I go to heaven, but, you know, the work isn't done. But Paul had become satisfied that, you know, I've done enough. It happens. You come to a place where you know, okay, I could die and go to heaven. But Paul said, you know what? I'm going to stay. He decided. That's deep, y'all. The thing is, people say there's an appointed time to die. Bible don't say that. The Bible doesn't say there's an appointed time to die. The Bible says it's appointed to man once to die. Different, whole different statement. People say all kind of weird stuff. You know, the race not given to the strong or the swift. He that endures to the end. Bible don't say that. Two verses pieced together said that. Bible also says Judas hanged himself, go thou and do likewise. Bible says that too. Not in the same place. So people need to go back and read the word and know what the Bible says. Stop latching on to people's sayings. The fact is, Paul was telling us plainly that he was deciding whether to stay or leave. You know what? For me to leave is better for me, but it's better for you that I stay. So he stayed until the time actually came. So I want to ask you this question. Since purpose is why we live and serve and do God's will, what is your purpose? Now, purpose doesn't have to be some big thing. Listen, y'all, your purpose could be to encourage your children, encourage your grandkids, your great-grandkids. Your purpose could be to encourage, brothers and sisters, your natural brothers and sisters. Your purpose could be a lot of, purpose is not one thing or one big thing always. But the thing is, whatever it is, Paul said, I know my purpose. And my purpose dictates I make these choices. And I encourage you, saints, to have that same mind, that let purpose determine your life. Next points here. Finish up right now. So Paul had a long-term goal. He looked at things in light of eternity. He wrote this in Philippians 3. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I am pressing. He says there, so Again, he said, in nothing I shall be ashamed. So Paul is telling us here, told us in Philippians 3, 13, 14, that I'm going to forget what's behind me. Now, listen, y'all, by forget, he don't mean forget people, forget lessons learned. It's like what Lot's wife did. She looked back behind her. It means she turned and went back. When you begin to look back, you begin to lose sight of the will of God for your life. You begin to let circumstances dictate your passion, your outlook. Please don't do that. But so forget those things, the sins, the old behaviors, the old things. But I'm going to strain and press for what is ahead. I like watching races, or foot races, dash, 100-yard dash, 200-yard dash, because you see runners straining. I mean, it's all they can do, you know, just to run and press forward and lean in. I watched a race last week where, I mean, the person who leaned won. The person who leaned in the most won that race. It was so close. So God wants you to lean in. Say, I will lean in to the will of God. I will lean in to Jesus Christ, his purpose for my life. Amen. God has called all of us heavenward. Calling isn't just for preachers. Calling's for all believers. Amen. So again, only a fool will go through life unprepared for something he knows will eventually happen. Amen. Father, thank you for reminding us today that, Lord, your joy is our strength. Lord, thank you for just encouraging us, like we see in Apostle Paul, who even from a desperate and difficult place, such as in a prison, cut off from the things he once enjoyed, yet because of your purpose, the joy of the Lord in his heart, in his life, Lord, gave him the purpose to go forward.